very promising week. So once again, welcome to each and every one of you this morning. Who would have a praise or a testimony or a prayer concern they would like to lift up? Yes.
Prayers for my sister Cheryl and her husband Michael. They have COVID and they're getting ready to move, and their house is ready except for no doors and windows. So
oh.
With everything else.
As long as they have a roof, right? Anyone else?
Melanie's having surgery Thursday.
Yeah, I was going to mention, but I didn't know if I should take your thunder, but okay. Yeah, Melanie Snyder will be having eye surgery on Thursday, so keep her and the attending medical staff in prayers, and we just thank God in advance for the miracles that he continues to bestow upon his family, and the miracle of modern medicine. You know, it's amazing what can and is done, and we just want to lift up Melanie on Thursday. Yes.
Just a praise. Last week we went to down to Marietta to Matt's dad's wedding. So he's 80, his new bride is 76, so I guess when they got their marriage license, people were kind of gathering around to see them in the office. but just a praise for a great time. We don't get to see Matt's siblings very often, so we spent a full day just sitting and talking with them. So it was just a wonderful weekend all around.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yes, Catherine.
We don't often do this, but this morning I just felt led to say thank you to the church for all the prayers, not only concerning Melanie's eyes, but just every day, and praises, and a thank you especially to Sam. I know you didn't expect this, but this morning I came to church and I had this big heavy crock pot in the back of my car, and I went in and saw him and I said, maybe you could come out and help me get that. And right away, even though he had to go get his own, he got mine first and brought it in for me. And just those little acts of kindness in the church here makes me realize how much I appreciate this church.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, Mary. It sounds like we both had the same surgeon, so he did a good job, and he's a good guy. So, anyone else? Yes.
Praise and prayers. Brooke, our oldest grandchild, got her driver's license officially on Friday. So, prayers and praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
16 years old. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, big milestone. Okay, seeing no others, and please take time to mark the attendance pads also. Who would have an announcement that they would like to highlight? I have several, so if there's something that someone wants to mention, ponder that. Guess I'll start with, this is October, and under the new constitution, format's somewhat different, so in the past, being on ministerial board, we could kind of sneak around and be a little bit more stealthy, but there is no true ministerial board anymore. So I'd just like to mention that October being Pastor Appreciation Month, take time to at least tell Bruce how you appreciate his ministry here, and in whatever way, you know, I'm not going to twist arms or anything, but I just wanted to mention that for October. And I would like to mention then that, yes, today starts our revival services with Pastor Chad Palmer. Specifically, right now, Monday night and Wednesday night for supper are still open on the schedule. So if that is something that fits your schedule and you would like to sign up for that, Monday and Wednesday evening are still open. And following service today is our carry-in dinner. If I could petition some kitchen help, that would be wonderful. And also then I would like to mention that the church is providing a sheet cake today in honor and recognizing Pastor Bruce's 20 years of ordination, which was commemorated, I guess you could say, at conference this year. But that was actually for last year because conference got canceled last year. So actually, officially, he's in his 21st year of ordination, but we just wanted to show some appreciation for that dedication to his walk with God and being ordained for that amount of time. So there is a cake down there. Laura Kell made it, so I can guarantee you it will be good, and it's decorated very pretty. It's nice, so take a look at it before that gets cut. And I, once again, you know, I'd like to invite everyone. Still, we'll have Bible study at 1 o'clock on Wednesday going through the book of Revelation. The leadership board meeting for Thursday night, the 21st. And then Sunday, October 24th, will be carry-in lunch prior to council meeting. So keep the 24th in mind. I did mark that one too. And there is a change then in the communion service. It had been decided by the deacon board that instead of having the full love feast and communion on Saturday night, that we will once again this time go with bread and cup following the service Thursday evening. So right after the revival service on Thursday evening, we will have bread and cup communion then. Any other announcements? I know that was a lot, but they're all in the bulletin, and so you can refer to that. All right, let's pause now and prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Please stand for our opening prayer. I'm going to open first with a couple verses from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. God was talking to Elijah. The Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come into your house, into this sanctuary, surrounded with love and hope and anticipation for worship, for the singing of songs, but the words of encouragement, and maybe even some chastisement from your scripture. But we know, Lord, that everything that is in the Bible is meant for good for those who love them. And Lord, we all have had various things in our lives in the last days, weeks, months with life on earth as hazardous as it is, in our own special ways. I'm sure, Lord, that at any given time that we could relate to the uncertainties of earthquakes, the being blown and tossed around by winds, by being scorched in fires that at times we might think would consume us. But when all that drama and tragedy is going on, it's very hard to hear your voice. We need to be able to step back and to realize that you are God, and that at that time we can listen to your voice. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to return again tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night to be able to kind of remove ourselves from this hectic world and listen to your son, your voice through this dear pastor of yours, Lord, for that tiny voice that would reach down and speak to us. The unchurched aren't really inclined to listen to that voice, but we are, and we should be seeking your face, Lord. So we want to lift up the series of messages, Lord, and especially right now in this time. We lift this time up and dedicate it to you, Lord. Just feed us. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing our first hymn. You can either see the words on the screen or you can turn to page number 295. We're going to sing "Revive Us Again."
Glory.
each other this morning before you're seated.
And now at this time, we'll have special music from the choir.
Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so. Well, I hope your heart is prepared for revival, and I hope you're looking forward to this as I have been. And I think one of the themes and the reason I chose this song this morning for our chorus to start is that this would be our prayer throughout the entire week with Brother Chad, is that we would desire to hear from the Lord, that we would desire he would speak to us in powerful ways, in ways that challenge us, in ways that refresh us, in ways that speak to us. So I invite you to stand with me as we sing, "Speak, O Lord." Let's come before him in prayer this morning. Lord God, we do humble ourselves before you this morning as we come. Lord, we come with requests on our hearts, with needs in our minds, things that are coming up, things that we're already in the midst of, things that we're still working on recovering from or healing from. Father, we just lift all the requests that were mentioned earlier to you, knowing you're a God who hears, a God who cares, and not just who hears and cares, but a God who can act and work and move, a God who is sovereign over all things. No situation, no illness, no condition can befall us that you are unaware of or unsure of how to respond to or what you're going to do. Lord, these are all within the scope of your power and of your hand. And so we lift them with confidence to you. We lift them with boldness through the access that's been given to us through the blood of Christ. And we place them in your hands. And this morning then, Lord, we come as hearers, as those who have come to hear the word of God, who have come to listen to what you, through your Holy Spirit, might say to us, and particularly this morning and this week, through your servant to our hearts, Pastor Chad Palmer. Lord, we pray your blessing on him as he comes. We pray your blessing on his family, his household, as he spends evenings away with us this week, that you would be near and dear to them and to his home congregation. And Lord, pray your blessing on the Mohican Church of the Brethren there as well, as they are seeing some difficulty on their footing as well. So we welcome them with us this morning. And Lord, as we all come before you in your presence, speak through our brother Chad, speak to our brother Chad, and use him as your servants to our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as Brother Chad comes to the pulpit, I just want to say a word or two of introduction, and I probably could really embarrass you if I had a mind to. I've known Chad since he was born.
That makes him old.
Yeah, that makes me really old. But, I saw your mom here last fall, and she reminded me of her and Nancy spending time in the nursery with babies together at Zion Hill there and some of those years. And Chad grew up just a year ahead of my son, Jack, I believe. And so the two of them grew up in church together quite a while. And I've come to know and appreciate him and his ministry then at Mohican, and hearing him speak as chaplain at senior high camp a couple of times, and just really appreciate what I see God doing in Chad, and glad to offer him the opportunity to come and speak to us this week. So, Brother Chad, bring us the word, will you please?
Hey, good morning, church. So as Pastor Bruce mentioned, I'm Chad, and so if I didn't get a chance to meet you yet this morning, I look forward to the opportunity this week. I bring you greetings from Mohican Church of the Brethren, as we are this morning actually not having church. If all goes well, they're joining us right now. So just want to bring you greetings from them. I have been at Mohican, serving there for just over 8 years now. My family and I got called out just over 8 years ago to serve there. Love being able to watch God do His thing, and it is humbling to be able to be in the service of the King. And just so you don't get confused and think that only people up here are in service of the King, you, if you're a disciple of Jesus, are in service of the King. And it is a pretty amazing thing. It's a pretty amazing thing. So I have a wife and three daughters. who are not here this morning. Lord willing, they will be at least one of the nights this week. My wife, Aubrey, we have been married for, I was just doing the math, and I'm pretty sure it's almost 19 years. That doesn't seem right because, that's a long time. And so so we've been married for almost 19 years. We have three lovely daughters who are Amelia, Lydia, Gabriella, or Gabby, and they are 14, 12, and 10. And so looking forward to introducing you to them later on this week. As for now, we have a beautiful privilege to be able to get into the Word of God together. And so I want to share with you here in just a moment. I realize that we did just pray, but I'm going to ask. I mean, you guys don't have like a cap on number of prayer,
no,
number of prayers. You
not so much.
Okay, all right. I know that. So I'm just going to ask you if you would join me as we go to prayer one more time before we open up the Word this morning together. Father God, this morning I'm so thankful for the opportunity to gather here together in this place with my brothers and sisters. So very thankful, Father, for the opportunity that you give us to open your Word. And so I pray that as we prepare to do that right now, Lord, you would indeed speak. God, as we just sung that song, I pray that you would speak, Lord. And not that I doubt that you would speak, but I doubt my ability to listen sometimes. And so, Father, help us to hear. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts, that even now, no matter how we came into this place, Lord, you would even now begin to do work in us so that we would be positioned to hear your voice. I pray, Father, that this morning and this week that you would use these faltering, stammering lips, that we would hear your voice is our desire in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, we're going to open up to Ezekiel chapter 37. As you saw in your bulletin and as you saw on these yellow papers, by the way, somebody said, somebody was a little bit shocked that this doesn't look like me here. Part of the year I look like that. Part of the year I look like this and more. And so it's getting fall, and so this is insulation. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37, so I'm going to give you just a second to turn there before we read the text together. Ezekiel 37, a prophecy of the Lord through Ezekiel, and we are just going to read a portion of that this morning. This morning, the message is entitled, Revived by His Word. And so, if you're there, will you join me in standing as we read the Word of the Lord this morning? Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Reads like this. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O Son of Man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and I will raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Praise God for his word. You may be seated. So I don't know how you're coming into this week. I trust that as you're coming into this week and you are anticipating these services, let me encourage you, come out each night as you're able. Not for me, because frankly, I don't have much to say. Come out to hear the word of the Lord. Come out to hear the word of the Lord. I trust that that this week, God will do something in you, and God will do something in me. This is what I am trusting him to do. This morning we read Ezekiel, and again, the title of the message is Revived by His Word. Let us, as we just kind of jumped into the prophecy and read a portion of the prophecy, let us look at what this context means. What is the context here of this scripture? You are not strangers to knowing how to handle the word. But let's look at the context here. In this context, we have Ezekiel as the prophet of God who is told by God to speak to the people. And so Ezekiel has been prophesying. He has been speaking to the people of Israel, the people of Judah, who have been in captivity in Babylon. And so this is kind of the setting. They're in captivity. These are the people to whom Ezekiel is speaking. Jerusalem has fallen, and now the people to which Ezekiel is speaking, this people, they are discouraged. They are dejected. It seems to them like they will never, ever be restored because it looks really, really impossible at this point. But God, through Ezekiel, shows the people that he will do it. So he brings Ezekiel this vision. It says, he brings me to this valley of dry bones. Picture this. I almost brought a pile of bones and set them right here on the steps. And I'm not sure how that would have been received, so I thought better, because y'all don't know me yet. And so I can just be a little bit weird. Ezekiel is taken to this valley full of dry bones, not just one or two, like you're walking out in the woods and it's like, oh, I caught a glimpse of a bone over there. He's in the midst of this valley that full of bones, like this mass grave that wasn't covered up. And not only were there bones everywhere, this sign of death, this sign of lifelessness, but these bones were very dry, as we have been told in the text. The bones being very dry, I think, really capped this illustration. Because the bones being very dry, that's a sign of there is no life whatsoever in these bones. It's not like somebody who might have been without a heartbeat for a handful of seconds and being revived back to life. These bones were far gone. Some of the bones that I had, I actually picked them up at home. And yes, I had bones laying around my yard because, well, my kids like playing with them. And I know it's weird, but they're really, really old. They're actually cow bones.
Okay.
There's some deer bones too, but there's some cow bones I found out in the woods, and they're cool. I mean, they're way, 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 way old and got moss, you know, on them. And so they are really, really dry, so to speak. There's no way this cow is coming back to life. This is the picture of the vision that God showed Ezekiel. I don't know if you've ever heard the song by Casting Crowns. I believe it's called Spirit Wind. And it actually references this text. Ezekiel stared down into the valley with dry bones baking in the sun. You know, what used to be a mighty army, now it seemed like their fighting days were done. I love it. The question that God asks Ezekiel here. I really love things like this in the scripture that just make me say, why did God ask him that? God says, son of man, he said, listen, can these bones live? Picture this. Put yourself in Ezekiel's position for a moment. As you are put there, knowing that Israel is in this land, they are separated from their homeland, they feel like they will never be restored. This is an illustration of Judah. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, knee-jerk reaction, every single one of us would say, no. But when God is showing you this and he says to you, hey, can these bones live? I don't know. It sounds to me like a trick question. And Ezekiel, we kind of see that in his answer. He says, oh, Lord, you alone know. You alone know. He didn't say no because he knows that with God all things are possible. If God wants to do it, there's not a thing that God can't do. And so Ezekiel, in his little bit of wisdom in that moment, Ezekiel says, oh, Lord, you know. You alone know. And then we see God giving him direction as to what to speak. God tells Ezekiel, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to tell you what to tell them. And you declare my word. And so Ezekiel does exactly that. And so Ezekiel, still not being totally confident that these bones will live, because he said, oh, Lord, you know. Ezekiel, being obedient, declared what God told him to declare. And as he began to declare what God told him to declare, stuff started happening. Stuff started happening like all of a sudden, there was a rattling of the bones, these dry bones. And all of a sudden, then there was some flesh that began to form. The sinews, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscle, stuff started to form on these dry bones that looked really, really, really dead. As that song continues, that Casting Crowns song says, but driven by a calling on his life, he spoke God's words and the bones began to shake. He stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as he prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. This is the picture in the context of what we are reading here in this text. Now, remember this. This prophecy was to Israel and not to us. This was a prophecy to Israel who was in a land not their own, who was taken out. They were scattered. This is a prophecy to them and not to us. And so maybe you'd say, then why in the world are we talking about this right now? Because I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention to the principle here. Because while this prophecy was directly to Israel, Judah, who was taken out and they were scattered in a foreign land, I want you to look at the principle. I want you to see the truth that is so powerfully illustrated here. Bottom line is this. What we need to understand this morning is that God, by his word, does stuff. God does some pretty amazing things, impossible things even, by his word. And I know that that is probably not something new to you, but I challenge you to consider this as we begin this series this week. Let's look at the kind of stuff that God does by his word. Do you remember way back in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1? Do you recall what God did in Genesis chapter 1? Well, there was nothing except God. There was nothing except him. You would think that it wouldn't take me that long to turn to Genesis chapter 1. There was nothing But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. And you go on and read the rest of the creation account. How did God create? God spoke, and it was. God spoke when there was nothing, and there became everything. When there was nothing, no materials to work with, God, by his word, spoke and created. But that's in Genesis. Do you recall in Luke, you don't have to write all of this stuff down. You wouldn't have to, even if I told you you had to. But in Luke, do you recall, I'm sorry, this one is in John. This is in the book, the Gospel of John. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, this might ring a bell, where Jesus was doing ministry. And as he was about doing ministry, one of his friends died. You know the name of the guy. Lazarus. Lazarus died. And you'll recall that Lazarus was in the grave for a long time. A long time when we're talking about a body that used to be alive and is now dead. And he waited intentionally. And then he and his disciples went. And Jesus walked up to the grave after he ministered to the weeping family. He walks up to the grave, to the tomb, and he says something. He says, Lazarus, come forth. By the word of the Son of God, life came back into a lifeless body. By his word alone. Do we see this other places? Many places. But let's get back to the book of Revelation. Very cool that you are studying this, I hear. Revelation chapter 19. You can write these down if nothing else, but check this out in verses 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know if you ever noticed this before, but when Christ returns to rule and to reign, and when the church comes with, you'll notice that the only one described doing any of the striking down is the one riding on the white horse. And you will notice how he is striking down the nations, the sword that is coming out of his mouth or the word. He doesn't need anything else to do whatever he wants to do except his word. I want to point all of this out because as we understand, as we begin this week, I mentioned before, I don't have a lot to say except to pass on to you the word that has been spoken. We need to understand that as we come into this place, and perhaps we are looking forward to maybe whatever has been dormant in us being stirred back to a newness of life. I don't know if you've ever gotten to that point. I trust that some of you are there right now. Maybe some of you actually in this room, I don't know you, maybe some of you in this room have never even experienced the newness of life that comes in Jesus alone. Whatever, wherever on that spectrum you are, I just want you to know that God does stuff by his word and that he has spoken. He has spoken. We know that he has spoken, and we have his written word here. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, these are very likely not texts that are brand new to you. 2 Timothy 3:16. We read this, that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We are told that God has spoken. And so we are not waiting for more revelation from God. God, speak and do your work. We know that God has spoken. God has spoken using the utensils of the prophets and the apostles. He has spoken and it is recorded for us. Understanding all of this is to say that God does work in the world and in us. And he does it by his word. We know that if anything is going to be done in us, it is going to be by the word. We look at this same text and we see that the word does stuff. What all does the word do? What kind of stuff does God do today through his word? Well, number one, salvation. God brings about salvation by his word. Listen, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we read this in verses 18. Well, in verse 18, we see that God accomplishes stuff through his word, of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth. Do you realize that salvation happens because his word is proclaimed? Yes, I know. Salvation is made possible for us by Jesus Christ in his atoning death on the cross in my place and in yours. And we have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus alone. How do we come to understand that? We come to know that and understand that by his word. By hearing his word, by reading his word, we come to understand the bad news that we are separated from God. And by his word, we come to understand the good news that there is a Savior. See, the Lord does his work in an unregenerate heart by the word, even using the foolishness of preaching. And if you listen to me for long enough, you'll be like, I see that illustration, the foolishness of preaching. God uses the proclamation of his word. Just like he used the proclamation of his word through Ezekiel, God uses the proclamation of his word to contact dead hearts and bring them to life. God also uses the proclamation of his word to contact hearts of us who are not as hot as we used to be. And he uses his word proclaimed to contact our hearts and to bring about some restoration. What else does the word do? We see that the word convicts. I don't know if any of you are thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talking about the word that is living and active. It describes the word as living and active and sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, to the very heart of us. And it reveals thoughts and intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to bring conviction to us. Now, that may not seem like a real fun thing, but I praise God for the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit using his word to bring conviction in me. Just like a loving father who comes up alongside his kid, just like when I come up alongside my daughters and I say, this is not right. God does the same thing by his word to us. And so expect it and look forward to it. The same text in 2 Timothy tells us that the word of God, the way that it works is it makes us wise for salvation. As Paul told Timothy in verse 15, makes us wise for salvation. It teaches us to know truth. truth from error, because you realize there is truth and there is error. Teaches us everything that we need to know about God, everything we need to know about us. It is good for rebuking or reproof. So pointing out wrong belief and behavior, exposing sin, just like we saw in the Hebrews passage. It is good for correction or restoring after the reproof. This is how you get back on the right track. And it is good for training in righteousness or training in right living. I say all this is very introductory, trying to help us to understand that any hope for revival that we have is going to be absolutely critical that the Word of God is involved. Any hope for revival that we have isn't going to come from any witty story that I have, though there may be some weird ones. Any hope for revival that we have isn't going to come from somebody else coming in and teaching you something that you don't know. Any hope for revival or a fire to be lit in you, not by me, but by Almighty God, the only hope we have for that is for the Word of God to be proclaimed. We see that Jesus, actually in his ministry, we know that when Jesus was walking among us, well, here on earth, not among us, because we really weren't here then, even though I know some of you are old, but what did Jesus do? I mean, we know that Jesus did many healings. Jesus did many miracles. He changed water into wine. He raised dead people. He made them see. He made the blind see. He made the lame walk. We know that Jesus did all of these many things, but let's look at the life and ministry of Jesus. If we are saying the Word of God is absolutely essential for us, look at the ministry of Jesus. I just want to reference some of these today. In Luke chapter 4, 43, and there's actually different places in the other Gospels that say the same thing. Jesus, after doing miracles, in this occasion, it was right after he healed Peter's mother-in-law, which I don't know how stoked Peter was about that, but Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and that kind of began people coming to him, and Jesus was healing them left and right, and there were all kind of things happening. Physical illnesses were being rectified. He was casting out demons, and so stuff started going around, and people were just coming left and right, and then we're told that Jesus departed. He went to a quiet place. That didn't matter. People found him anyway. And his disciples were like, Jesus, you got to come back out. I mean, we got a following here. We got a crowd. They want to see the miracles. They want to see the healings. They need that. And do you know what Jesus said? In this moment, Jesus said this. We need to go to the other towns, and I need to preach the gospel there also. Because this is why I have came. This is why I've come. Jesus said, to go and to proclaim the good news. Jesus didn't just stay there and just make people well physically left and right. He had a mission, and that was to go and to proclaim the word. We also see how essential the word was to the incarnate word, Jesus, in Matthew 4:11. You remember this when Jesus was in the wilderness. The Spirit led him to the wilderness, and he was being tempted in the wilderness. Satan was there, bringing the temptation. What did Jesus do? Every single time that Satan brought a temptation, Jesus quoted the Word of God. He spoke the Word. Why? Why? He spoke the Word of God because the Word is living and active. It is powerful. It is the essential thing that we need for our life, for our growth, for our spiritual warfare. It is essential. So Jesus answered every single time. Even when Satan misquoted Scripture and misused it, Jesus got back to the Word and he quoted the Scripture. I'm going to bring up one other example for you. It's on when Jesus met the disciples on the Emmaus Road. This was after the resurrection, but these two disciples didn't really fully get it yet, and they were walking home, and they were discouraged. They were dejected, and Jesus came up alongside them. They didn't know who he was, and he listened to them, and then the scripture tells us that Jesus, in order to help them to see why the Messiah had to suffer, he took them back to Moses and the prophets. And from Moses and the prophets, he taught to them why the Messiah had to be crucified and die and to be raised up again. Do you think Jesus could have just went and made them understand? He used the Word of God. So there's some examples from the life and the ministry of Jesus. I bring this all up to you and tell you these things that you already know this morning, because it is essential for us to understand that if we have any hope for revival today, this week, next month, next year, it cannot be separated from the Word of God. It cannot be separated from the Word of God and prayer. By the way, in closing, I think it's important for us to look back at Ezekiel and see that it is not about the delivery system. It is not about the delivery system. It is all about the Word of God. In other words, It is not about the confidence, the personality, the style of the preacher. How many of you have ever sat through a sermon and you just don't like the style of the preacher? How many of you is that right now? I have myself too. And I have come away thinking, man, that was pretty lame. You know what I have found during those times? I have not come prepared. And it wasn't my desire to just hear the word. It was my desire to be entertained. And I wasn't. It has nothing to do with the delivery system. Let me point you back to Ezekiel's answer when God, as he was showing him this vision of the valley of dry bones, as God asked Ezekiel, hey, can these bones live? Ezekiel wasn't like, right on, Lord, just say the word. It could have been recorded if he did that. He didn't do it. He wasn't like, tell me what to say, God. I know that these bones will live if I just say what you tell me to say. I think that it is a beautiful telling thing right here that we see Ezekiel say, God, you alone know. I have no idea what God will do in your heart or in mine. I have no idea. Sometimes I actually, knowing me, I will actually doubt that God can do what he needs to do on this heart. Because I know how callous I can be sometimes. I know how much of a hard head I can be sometimes. And if those that know me best were here, they could amen that right up. Hey, I don't know what God is going to do. And frankly, I don't even know. I know he could do whatever he wants, but I don't know what he could do. What could God do? What could God do in us? What could he do if we really believed that this was his word and that God does stuff by his word? What could he do in me? If I got up in the morning and I didn't first, well, I probably better first go to my coffee pot. What could he do in me if I knew that God, there was a word from God for me that day? How many of you ever heard people like, I just need a word from God? He has spoken. And you will not get a word from God apart from his scripture. And especially that contradicts his scripture. Because he has spoken. What if I got up in the morning and I believed that that God, by his word, does stuff. And he has spoken. What if I believe that so much that I so desired and I so craved to know it, to read it, to hear it, and I saturated myself with his word? We get saturated with all kinds of stuff, don't we? Hey, you know what's a beautiful thing? I haven't been on Facebook for probably 3 weeks or better now. It's fantastic. Because stuff of the world saturates. And when we are saturated, it is super hard to absorb anything that God has said. It doesn't matter about the delivery system. It doesn't matter about the one speaking on the radio or from this pulpit, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your reading level. God is bigger than your reading level. And God, by his Spirit, works through his word in us. I say all that to say, this week, my intention is to proclaim the word. I encourage you to prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts for what God will do in a miraculous way when his word hits you, when his word touches you, because God does stuff by his word, and God has spoken. Life where there was no life, and revived life, only comes through his word, by the working of his Holy Spirit. And so let me encourage you, as I'm encouraging myself even this week, because you know, you all know that this isn't the line where God does work out here, not over here. I look forward to seeing what God will do in you this week, and I look forward to seeing what God will do in me and in Pastor Bruce this week. When we all position ourselves to receive the word. And so let me encourage you to, as we go from this place, to consider that. How are we positioned? How might we be positioned to receive his word this week? I'm going to pray, and I know you're going to pray again, but Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that even as we begin this week, Lord, as introductory, Father, I pray that you would help us, each one of us, to hold higher your word. God, not that it is just some textbook that's filled with some pretty good ideas. But Father, help us to see this, Lord, as the living and active word. Father, when I begin to see it like that, Lord, I for one begin to shudder when I open it in front of people. Because it is a weighty thing to proclaim it. But Father, I pray that you would help me to proclaim it as I should. Lord, that you would elevate the worth of your word in our lives, in our eyes this week, beginning right now. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our desire for it, our hunger for it. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we go to consider, Lord, what else might be squeezed out of our life so that we can be more fully saturated by your word. And Lord, as we hear it, as we read it, go to town in us, Lord. God, do what it is that you need to do. God, bring those of us who aren't to salvation. Those of us who are already in Christ, God, teach us. Rebuke us. Correct us. Train us in righteousness. All, Lord, for the point of bringing us to fuller maturity in Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We look forward to see what you are going to do in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Sister Mary, will you lead us in our closing?
Please stand with me. Take your hymnals, or the words are also on the screen, as we sing our final hymn, hymn 259. And I hope this is your prayer for you this week, that God would breathe his breath on each of you.
Chad, appreciate that message and your exalting the Word of God, and that's where our change comes from. Don't forget the meal that's to follow the service, and I'll ask the blessing on the food before we head down, and that way you can begin as soon as you get down there. But let's pray. Father God, we do pray, I pray, that you would do a work in me, in us, this week. And that would come as a result of your word being at work in us. So Lord, speak to us, speak to our hearts, breathe on us, breath of God. Change us, because we're not as we should be. We're not yet as we might be. But Lord, make us what we could be in you by your grace and by your word. And now, Father, we are grateful for the food that each one has brought that's been prepared this morning. We're grateful for a time of sharing that we can have around the tables over the food, and taking a moment to get to know our brother just a little better through our fellowship together. We just ask your blessing on all of it, on all the hands that have prepared the food, on the food itself, and on our fellowship. May it be a blessing and a strength to us, and may it glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.